So today we come to Psalm 101. You know, what exactly is a godly life? What does it mean to live a life that's so godly that God classifies it as holy? What does it mean to be holy? This is a psalm about personal holiness. This is the psalm that describes what a holy life really is. This is a psalm that describes a real spirituality that we should pursue. What we will discover is that holiness is not so much a feeling or sentiment. Holiness is determined by various judgments we make concerning ourselves and various things. And Psalm 101 is a psalm of David. It's a psalm written by one who is after God's own heart. This psalm communicates a desire for real holiness in one's personal life and also in one's kingdom corporate life. This is certainly the type of holiness that will exist when Jesus Christ reigns in the earth. This psalm is a mirror that can show us exactly where we really are in a relationship with God. And what we see in this psalm is that one who has a holy life is one who makes positive and negative judgments concerning himself and others. So if you think that real spirituality is a glazed-eyed emotional feeling, think again. Take a serious look at this psalm, because here is how real holiness works. Holiness operates by a strict exclusiveness. It's not broad-minded or open-minded. Holiness is very narrow and intolerant of certain things. And we have some thoughts here that are communicated in the psalm. Holiness in regard to yourself. Look at this. We see factor one, and that's where one holy will praise God for his positive and his negative attributes. Look at verse 1. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. This first verse is interesting because it gives us two attributes of God. One is the mercy side of God, and the other is the justice side of God. Now, what David did was sing about these true attributes of God. He sang about grace, and he sang about holiness. Mercy is a very positive attribute, and justice is a very negative attribute. But those who have the kind of holiness that pleases God praise God for all of his attributes. He is a God who will save, and he is a God who will condemn. He is a God who will forgive, and he is a God who will judge. And when it comes to worshiping God, we must worship him in what he reveals himself to be. We need to sing and praise him for the positive and the negative. And then one holy will pursue a life that was blameless. Look at verse 2. I will ponder the way that is blameless. The word blameless is not the word sinless. The Hebrew word blameless, tamim, is one that means to live a life that is whole, sound, complete, upright. What this means is that David had as his focus giving heed to the righteous ways of God. He was out to live his life in conformity to God's word in all areas so that no valid charge could be brought against him. Now, I may observe from these next words, when will you come to me, that one of the things that kept David focused on a blameless life was the thought that God could come today, and he did not want to be found living a life in which that which would be dishonorable. But one's walk will have a walk of integrity. Look at the second part of verse 2. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. That word integrity refers to a moral uprightness. No one can be holy if they are dabbling in immoral or evil things. And carefully observe the two areas where integrity is proved, in his house and in his heart. These are two very private areas, and these are the areas where you will prove what is righteous. Righteousness will be proved in the privacy of one's house and in the privacy of one's heart. No one who is actually able to see what is going on in a man's heart or house, the answer is God can do that. And God sees whether a person is truly holy or not. Spurgeon said, you cannot sing in the choir and sin in the chamber. You cannot be a saint on the outside and a devil on the inside. What we are in our homes and hearts is what we are. And David was after holiness in his home and in his heart. And one will not set worthless things before his eyes. Look at the first part of verse 3. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. David had fallen earlier in his life, and all it started with was his eyes and what he was looking at. And he purposed that he wouldn't do that again. Now, the word worthless refers to anything that could be classified as worthless. That could include philosophy or literature, things immoral or things idolatrous. One right with God will guard what is before his eyes. Clearly, what we let our eyes look at can determine how holy we are. And then one who is holy will hate the work of those who fall away. The second part of verse 3, I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. David had a holy hatred for disloyal people and their disloyal work. People who fall away when things get tough are disloyal, and they do not please God. By the way, these words speak of a real hatred. We are talking here about a real abhorrence, not just some neutral indifference. It's hate here, and we should hate that. There's a proper hatred involved in holiness. In fact, David said, their evil work and disloyalty will never fasten its grip on him. God's people should never pursue those worthless things. And then one holy departs from a heart that is perverse. Verse 4, a perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. A perverse heart is a heart that's given to twisted, depraved, evil things. One who is right with God gets away from twisted, depraved, and evil things. One who is holy will make a break from anything that falls into this category. The matter here is a matter of the heart. We believe it's important to ask God to create in us a clean heart because in and of ourselves, we don't have it. And then holiness in regard to others. The things revealed here are things that should be practiced by all the people around us, whether it be in church, theological institutions, Christian families, and individuals. Things here should be practiced by governments and cities. These actions are the kind of actions holy, godly people in holy, godly places carry out. These are actions that will definitely be carried out when Jesus Christ reigns in the earth. Because holiness silences secret slanderers. Look at the verse 5. Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, I will destroy. The context here is that of one who secretly goes around behind the scenes, verbally destroying one that is faithful. Those who are honest will speak to you face to face, man to man and woman to woman. Those who are not godly go behind your back. One who slanders is not holy and is not godly, no matter how religious they appear to be. Holiness does not tolerate those proud and arrogant. Second part of verse 5, whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. God hates pride. God hates proud people, and so will those godly people. Dr. Swindoll said that a proud and arrogant person will bring contention and arguments to almost every situation. And holiness develops close fellowship with those that are faithful. The first part of verse 6, I will look with favor on the faithful in the land that they may dwell with me. It's very rare to find a faithful man or a faithful woman, but when you find one who is faithful, that is the one with whom you want fellowship. And then holiness demands that ministers walk in ways that are blameless. Second part of verse 6, he who walks in that way that is blameless shall minister to me. The word blameless is that word that means to be whole, sound, and complete. It does not mean that one must be sinless because there's no such thing as a sinless person. But what it does mean is that the one who is holy is one who walks in ways that are whole and sound and complete in accordance with God's word. This is the kind of person who is able to minister. And then holiness does not have close fellowship with those that are deceitful. The first part of verse 7, no one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. Notice the emphasis is on one who practices deceit. We're talking here about one who habitually lies. One who is deceitful is one who continually hides the real truth, the real story, the real motive. This is one who deliberately misleads people away from the truth. And holiness does not promote one who is a liar. Second part of verse 7. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. In eternity, no liar will be in any place of authority. Lying is a devil's sin. Lying is what Satan used to trick Eve. People right with God don't have much to do with liars. And then holiness silences the wicked every day. The first part of verse 8. Morning by morning, I will destroy all the wicked in the land. Just a shame that our government does not understand this principle. Holy people silence wicked people every day. And then lastly, holiness will cut off and cut out those who do iniquity. Cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. True holiness cuts off and cuts out those who do iniquity. They throw them out of the city.